This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. And verse 6 is the one I want to focus on particularly this morning. So Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your words are spirit and they are life to everyone who finds them. Lord, you are not speaking in secret. Lord, since the very foundation of the world, you have been calling out to us day, night unto day, utter speech. Lord, you have spoken. All of creation is calling out with your voice. And you are today speaking by your spirit and saying, today, if we will hear your voice, not to harden our hearts, Lord, but you, the things that you want to say to us this morning, I pray every one of us, Lord, would have an ear that's open. Lord, open my ear. Open my heart that it would not be hard or closed to what you are saying to us in this time, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to ask you this morning, are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Are you hungry and thirsty for God? And I want to ask myself that, David, are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Because everyone who is shall be filled. He shall be filled. You know, Jesus stood up there, he sat down, and when all the disciples were around, he opened his mouth. I tell you what comes out of the mouth of the Lord is so precious. And I pray today that God will really awaken a hunger and a thirst in every single one of us, that he would increase that hunger and thirst. Look, I think back to when I was first saved, and I think back to the hunger that was awoken in my heart. As a young man, I was just flat out fulfilling every desire that I had in my life. And I found that nothing satisfied, that nothing quenched the thirst that I had, took the hunger pain away. All the things that I did, I'd find that there would be such a hope in front of me that this thing or whatever it was, material thing or pursuit that I had, would thoroughly satisfy me. It promised me so much. And yet when I got it, most of the things, be very lucky if it would last 2 or 3 weeks, and I find it didn't satisfy, and I start looking for something else. And praise God. You know, all of my friends told me it was at a weak time in my life that I turned to the big R, big religion. But the reality was I got so hungry and so thirsty that nothing else would satisfy. You know, there's only one thing that a hungry man or a thirsty man looks for, and that's to satisfy their hunger or to satisfy their thirst. God said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why is it that in the church, I think in the church, that our hunger and our thirst for God should be increasing and increasing and increasing? You know what the Bible says in Ezekiel? He has this vision of out right from the very throne of God, a water flow starts coming from out under the throne, from the throne, and it flows through the temple, and it comes out through the gates of the temple, and it starts to flow out, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper the longer it flows. And I think as people of God, you know, once we're first filled with the Holy Spirit, why did you get filled? Isn't that the promise? Be filled with the Spirit. The Bible commands us, be filled. It wasn't just a one-off, oh yes, I remember when I was filled with the Spirit, right back in wherever it was. I remember when I was so excited for God, so full of the Holy Spirit, I couldn't contain myself. Well, the Bible says that we should be being filled, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That we should be a people who go from glory to glory. That our path gets brighter and brighter. And what is the condition of heart that opens the way for it? It's your hunger and your thirst. So not that you can tell people, oh yes, I once had this wonderful experience, but what about now? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit now? Are you filled with His Word? You know what the Bible says? God says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Well, He's talking to the Israelites. Same thing to us. He brought us out of the world. Why? Because the world could not satisfy. Nothing that it offered satisfied. We're a peculiar people. We're weird people that have made up our minds, that have found out that this world has nothing that can satisfy us. I mean, look at the world. It's flat out trying to satisfy, and it can't do it. Well, we're a peculiar people because we say, the Lord is my portion. You know, Psalm 73, you ever read that psalm? It's a psalm of a man who's a Christian, and he starts wandering, drifting away from the Lord. Good, we heard about that anchor. He starts drifting away from God. He starts looking at the wicked and he thinks, well, they've got it made. Every desire of their heart is being met. And he says, you know, I'm continually under trials and tribulations. What does the Bible say when trials and tribulations come your way? What does the Bible tell you to do? Rejoice. What does it tell you to do when persecution comes against you? Come on, tell me, what does the Bible tell you to do? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Whew. You know, there was a pastor, when I was in Bible college, there was a pastor by the name of Nishihara. Sounds Japanese, doesn't it? Well, he was Japanese. And he had this, he shared this wonderful testimony of while he was pastoring his church that I just cannot forget. Had a woman in his church, lost her husband. Now, I'd be too afraid to do this. Came into the church. She was under such heaviness and depression and sorrow. You know what he told her to do? He told her to rejoice. And, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. He said, that's loud. That's not rejoicing. You know what he made her do? He started running around the church. Start rejoicing. He'd be locked up today if he did that today, wouldn't he? The Bible says when these things happen to you, be exceedingly glad and rejoice. She ran around the church once, still looked pretty heavy. She ran around the church the second time. The Spirit of God fell on her and she began to leap. She began to praise God. She had the joy of the Lord come upon a supernatural power. We are a people who believe in a supernatural God. We found out that the things of this world do not satisfy. We have a God who doesn't come and say, I will help you cope with life. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, either this word is true or it is not. Where does it come from? It comes from a hunger. It doesn't come from me pounding you. It doesn't come from you trying with all your best efforts and all your strength and all your intelligence and all your emotional strength. It doesn't come from that. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from His Spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness because they'll be filled. they'll be filled. When you think of someone hungry, tell me what you think. Tell me what you think of when you think of a thing or a person hungry. Shout me out. Feeding, yeah. Who needs feeding? Starving people. You know what that? Babies. Isn't it, when babies are born, what's the first thing they do? They're after the milk. Let's say 1 Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But what is the Bible telling us in our generation? By this time, we should be mature. We should know how to eat meat. We should know. What's the meat? The meat is doing the word of God. So when that man told that woman to start doing the word of God, it didn't come just to be a nice sounding thing to make you feel better in your emotions. It's a reality. You start doing the word of God. She began to leap. She began to rejoice. She began to praise God. And a supernatural strength came upon her. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they shall be filled. It says in Psalm 81, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And then he says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. You know, you all know that picture. I've shared it here before. I remember as a young boy, the first time I saw it, I was sitting under a tree. Must have been a hot day. I was sitting under a tree and I became aware of a blackbird's nest just above my head. And then as I looked at this nest, there was no movement there. I thought maybe it was empty. But as I watched it, the mother bird came in. I kept as still as I could, not to frighten her away. The mother bird came in instantly. All these little heads popped up and instantly. You ever seen the baby birds in a nest when they open their beaks? You can't see anything else but a mouth. Isn't that true? That's all you can see. This mouth that's open wide. And, you know, the biggest mouth, I suppose, gets the biggest worm, whatever the mum's got. But God's saying the same to us. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. How hungry are you? There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing he can't do. He didn't come to make us cope. He came so that we can be conquerors, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So abundantly, let me finish my words. So that even if you are in the darkest of places, he wants you to know the reality that he is with you as a mighty, awesome one. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. I will not want. Yes, it's great when I'm lying down in the green pastures. Oh, I love the green pastures. It's great when he leads me beside the still waters. Oh, I'm waiting for that maturity where we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Psalm 73, that man who used to look at the wicked, he starts to become envious of them. He says, God, I nearly slipped. I nearly fell from your path. I nearly stopped following you. I became like a beast. I became like an animal. You know what the Bible describes humanity as when it's without God in their hearts and minds? It describes humanity like a beast. Wouldn't that tell you why all these pictures in the Bible and Revelation, Daniel, talking about massive humanity, talking about the Antichrist, the beast that's going to come. It's all of humanity without thinking in their minds and their hearts. That's what it is. Don't look for anything. It's all of humanity becoming a mindless beast. And the psalmist says, I was like a beast before you. You know, we said, nevertheless, you're still with me. Nevertheless, he came to his right mind. You know, and he said, I was like a beast. I was lost. I was cut off from you. And he said, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, then I understood. Then it dawned on me what I was missing, and that hunger for God. You know, he ends up praying. He says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. my flesh and my heart fail, but God, you're the strength of my life and you're my portion forever. When Jesus opened his mouth, I have a picture of God, you know, just like that mother bird depositing the food into the baby bird's mouth that are open with her own mouth. I have the same picture of God doing that to every one of us. When he speaks, his words are spirit and they are life. You know, what makes a difference? You know, we know naturally, you know, those little birds open their mouth so wide, they're hungry. There's only one thing that they're mindful of, and that's the mum bird, and they can hear the sound of her wings as soon as she flies into that tree, because that's what happens. As soon as I heard the mother swoop in, these heads were up, mouths were wide open. How many of us know when the Lord's at hand? He's here right now. He's here right now. And what he's looking for is a hunger and a thirst in each one of us, because he will fill us. In Matthew, often God allows things to bring back that hunger in our lives. And I've had it in my own life. I'd say many of you, probably all of you, have had the same sort of experience where we tend to so easily drift away from the Lord. We get distracted and we get caught up again thinking the things of this world will satisfy. And we get our eyes off of the Lord, and the hunger for the Lord starts to dissipate. God wants to increase it now in this time. He really does. First thing he said was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's a man that wrote something down, what it means to be poor. Poor in spirit. We think of people who are poor, that they don't have any possessions, don't have land, don't have any material goods at all. We think, well, they're really poor. But if they're still able to labour for their food, they're not poor. The poor that we're talking about in the scripture here is like a beggar who is totally destitute. He cannot even labour for his food. He's totally dependent and destitute, totally dependent on others for his food. That's the kind of poverty we're looking at here, but it says poor in spirit. You know, God's sometimes got to bring us to that place again. That's a good place to stay, to recognize that in ourselves, from ourselves, we have absolutely nothing, totally incapable of even satisfying any desire, let alone the desires that God has for us, that he wants to awaken in us. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where it starts. We start to recognize our total dependence and lack of any good thing from God. Then it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What are we mourning over? We're mourning just over our bad circumstance, our bad situation? No, it's much, much more than that. It's mourning over our total loss, total emptiness, total depravity in our lives, that really God is not obligated to give us or do anything for us. We're totally lost in sin. The only thing we deserve is judgment and hell. And we begin to mourn over that. They shall be comforted. Blessed then are the meek. And that's humility. You know, God loves humility. He loves it. What does he do? He gives. God resists the proud. So, you know, poor in spirit, well, they're not pride. Those who mourn, there's no pride there. It's been knocked out of them. It's gone. And there's this meekness, this humility, recognizing exactly who we are. We're not trying to get God to do something for us by groveling in front of him and saying, you have to do something because I'm in such a bad state. I'm so miserable. But just recognizing who he is, who we are, and standing humbly before him and recognizing. And that's what happens when, well, they're the ones that inherit the earth. And out of that comes a hunger and a thirst for God. Are you willing that God will awaken a hunger in you and a thirst in your life? Because he will fill you. He will fill you. That's his promise. God can't lie. Didn't we hear that? What was that word? Immutable. God doesn't lie. Every promise is true. He will fill us. You know, in starts in Luke 15, I think it is, the prodigal son. You know what he said to his father? Give me the portion that belongs to me. And off he went into a foreign land, blew it all, and didn't satisfy, ends up in a pig pen, ends up wrecking. You know what he recognized? He was poor in spirit. He began to mourn. He wanted to eat the husks that the pigs were eating. He was in a good place, actually, because it awakened a hunger in him. He came to his senses and said, I'm starving here. In my father's house, there's plenty. And it made him come back to his father's house. And he was filled. Wasn't he filled? Didn't the father just pour out upon him? And that's what happens in our hearts when God brings us to that place of hungering and thirsting after him. To be poor in spirit means to have emptied yourself of all preconceived opinions, prejudices, in the wholehearted search for God. It means to be willing to set aside your present habits of thought, your present views and prejudices, your present way of life, if necessary, to jettison, in fact, anything and everything that can stand in the way of finding God. Are you hungry? Jesus counseled in Matthew 18:4 that unless we become as little children, we could not enter the kingdom. He was not holding up a child's innocence or purity as a model. He was not counseling us to become childish, but to have a child's unconcern for social status, honor, or anything similar. When we are carnal, pride is such a master that we have little chance but to follow it. Open wide your mouth, God says, and he will fill it. You ever heard that saying, you are what you eat? Don't know how true that is. I've heard it before. You are what you eat. Well, I'll tell you what, it's true for the Word of God. Yes. Literally true. You know, we had communion, didn't we? What did he say? This is my body broken for you. How easy it is for communion to become a form and lose the power of it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it. This is my blood shed for you. Drink it. He didn't try to explain it away. And when everybody said, what's he talking about? He's crazy. You know what he said? He said, the words I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life to everyone who finds them. You know, I love the scripture in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah says, your words were found and I ate them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart because I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that amazing? Your words were found and I ate them. God wants us to open our mouth. You know, isn't that the same with little children when they're hungry? Come on, open wide. How many don't like eating their veggies? How many like veggies now? How many grown-ups like veggies? Oh, that's pathetic. Look at that. How many like lollies? Yeah, my hand's up as well. The lack of teeth proves that. Hallelujah. Your words were, and I ate them. How do we eat the word of the Lord? We're told, in fact, God actually uses this term in Deuteronomy. He says, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. What do you say that? What do you mean in my mouth? You mean in my ear, don't you? No, he says, the word is nigh you, it's in your mouth. What's he talking about? He said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate it. Begin to chew it. Begin to think over it. How many times, you know, that's why Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. How many are worried about the things that are going to happen tomorrow? And do you realise that there's a greater and greater fear building today? People are worried about the things that are happening tomorrow. They might do Bible studies and look at Revelation and find out what the devil's going to do. I don't care what the devil's going to do. I've been reading about what God's going to do. I haven't got an escape plan. I tell you what God is going to do is going to astound not only the earth, but it's going to astound principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Didn't he say that? He says he's going to manifest his glory where? In his church. Man, if you're not getting excited, I would tell you to meditate in this word. Find out, you know, Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are living in the most exciting days that you can live in. We are going to see the manifest glory of God. He said, as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that. I'm believing for that. So when Jesus said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. In other words, when you start to meditate, what are you meditating on? Are you meditating on what the devil's going to do? Are you meditating on the cares and the anxieties that Jesus said not to? He said, take no thought. The only way the only right he has to tell us to do that is if he's going to take the responsibility for all of our cares. Has he done that? He's done that. He's done it. I don't have to worry. Gee, it's a good life, isn't it? Isn't it awesome? I don't have to be afraid. You know, so often God's got to bring us into circumstances to bring us back to our senses, just like the prodigal. You might be in a hard place like the prodigal, in a pig pen. But praise God, that could bring you back to your senses. You might be in a hard place financially, in a hard place physically, in a hard place, socially, whatever it is. That could be a good place. Because God starts to show you, he says, I am with you. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. God's wanting to wake up a hunger. I want to leave it here. Let me read two psalms that comes out to you about hunger and thirsty. Psalm 42, 1 to 2 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a hunger. It's all about him. Psalm 63, 1 to 2. O Lord, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you in a dry and... this is a dry and thirsty land, isn't it? There's nothing to satisfy here. But God delights to open up rivers in the desert. He delights to bring provision in deserts. He delights to do that. He's the same today as if he did it to the Israelites, he's going to do it today. He delights. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I'll leave it this. In the book of Revelation, there's the picture of the end time church. You know what that end time church says in its heart? It says, I am rich. Now, let me find it. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What's missing? Hunger. Hunger. We're going to see that hunger increase. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Well, if you are, God will fill you and you'll continually be filled. Because that's his promise. That's what he wants to do. What God starts gets better and better. It gets greater and greater until we're going to see such an outpouring of his Spirit that all those who are hungry and thirsty and are fed up with the things of this world because they can't satisfy are going to stream to his goodness because his glory is outpoured. Can we stand up, please? I want to close in prayer. Anybody that would like prayer, I want to join together with you. If you're in a hard place, well, praise God. Because I bet your eyes are only going to look one place. Think about that man in the desert. That's a hard place. No water. He's going to die. Well, praise God. You know, we all heard the stories. They see mirages. Well, this is no mirage. This is a reality. God is there. And he will lead you to the rivers of living water because Jesus Christ, he said, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He is more than enough. If you're in a desert place, praise God because you're going to find that God is the one that satisfies. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're in a good place. So if that's you, I'd love to pray with you. God wants to fill you because he is true. His word is true. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us as a mighty, awesome one. We acknowledge your presence. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are with us. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are with us, that you said, I will never leave or never forsake you, even to the end of the age. Lord, we acknowledge your presence and we rejoice in your presence. You are with us as a mighty, awesome one. Lord, that we should never be ashamed, we should never be downhearted, because, Lord, you are always with us. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for new strength, Lord, that you give freely and you teach our mouth what to say. The Lord, we want to be a people that you are able to put your word in our heart and in our mouth, and it will come out of our mouth the same way that you spoke it, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.